The Smarter Living section at the New York Times was created to help readers live their best life. And we're going to get the tips, the tricks, the practical insights that can help us navigate this journey. Advice is on the way here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And now it's time for some clear, concise spring membership drive information. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, in-depth discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong. Chris Molina here in the house, producer all extraordinaire on the network.
That was the best title introduction I've ever gotten here. Well, Kate, you mentioned listeners living their best life. Help us here at Wisconsin Public Radio live our best life, because it is listener support that is the single largest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs, and that's why it's your gift of any amount. Right now, at the start of this pledge drive makes an important difference, so we're asking you to make that pledge of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just love that. Make WPR live its best life.
Absolutely.
Our goal is 10 pledges this hour, and we'll meet this goal one pledge at a time, because as in any advice, it's the little steps, right? That starts with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, every advice columnist that I've ever read, ever listened to says one thing: don't procrastinate. Hey, so why not make that pledge right now here during the first hour of our membership drive? Get it out of the way. You won't have to think about it, and you'll help us meet this goal of 10 pledges this hour. This goal is important. It's set to make sure that we have the funding we need for the programs that you rely on. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. We do get funding from the federal government and from the state, but it's really voluntary listener contributions that make up the single largest source of funding for WPR programs.
That means it's your support. It's vital in keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. So now that you know how important listener support is, make your pledge right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the programs you hear on WPR, they make a difference in your life. That's why you're listening right now and why you listen every day. During this spring membership drive, we're asking you to support your radio home.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your radio station. This is your radio home. Maybe you listen to us in the car. Maybe you listen to us in the house. Wherever you listen to us, this is your radio home. Chances are we are on your presets on your radio. And listeners who value public radio give what they can to support it. That's how this works. If you're already a member, well, thank you for making Wisconsin Public Radio possible. But if you are not a member yet, well, today is the day to become one. Make your first ever gift of, say, $10 a month, but give the amount that's right for you right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Karen Ann Hoffman. I live in Stevens Point, and I'm an Iroquois-raised bead worker. The rock art caribou on this artist mug was inspired by a piece of rock art in southwestern Wisconsin. I saw scratched into the rock this line with an arrow point, it looked like, on it. And so I found myself standing in the very same place that some artist thousands of years prior had stood. And I thought, you know, I have to honor that artist.
Ask for your 2018 artist mug when you make a gift of $15 a month or more. Here's how.
You can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Chris Molina. We're asking you for your support during this spring membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
We know you value your time, and we value your time too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is just going to take a few minutes. Tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay for it.
It's quick. It's easy to do. Your gift right now, it really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station that you count on. Do not procrastinate. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, Kate, you're going to be talking about how to maximize maximize a day off. Well, listeners, whether you've got a day off, whether you're working, there's no better way to start the day than supporting the radio station that you love. Maybe this is going to be your first time making a pledge. Maybe you've been a supporter for a long time. Wherever you're coming from, we are glad to have you, and it all starts with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Glenn from Winthrop Harbor, Illinois says, it's about time for me to support WPR. It's been my morning companion for so many years. I love that you try to keep the discussion balanced and civil. Glenn, thank you so much for your support and for joining us here in the mornings. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. We're learning how to live better, more fulfilling lives with Tim Herrera in our midst. He's been editor of the New York Times Smarter Living section for almost 3 years now, giving tips and advice for so many of life's interesting and somewhat universal challenges. Tim, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's first start with a day off. A day off does not necessarily mean a day off of all effort. And for our purposes, we're talking about a break from obligations to a job. You've written a whole list of ideas for things people can do on their day off. The first is a big one, tackle your financial to-do list. Why start out so heavy?
Yeah, I mean, it's day off is just a very convenient excuse for us to kind of take care of those tasks that are kind of lingering in the background that we all kind of know we should take care of, but we always have an excuse not to do it, right? Oh, I'm so busy with work, I got other things going on, blah, blah, blah. So it's really just kind of an easy excuse for us. But, you know, when I was putting this list together, I put, you know, dealing with your financial to-do list at the top because it really is one of those things that isn't, you know, there are a lot of things you can do that are pretty easy and low lift to kind of help your situation in some way, but it's something that a lot of us have a really big mental block around. You know, we hear the idea about taking care of our finances or dealing with our bills or whatever it may be, and we just kind of shut off because it feels like such a heavy task. But, you know, the reality is that there are a number of smaller things that won't take all day, but that really can kind of improve your situation.
So what are some of those other smallish things that won't take all day, that won't really feel like you're doing chores during your day off?
I mean, one of the big things that we hear from readers that they just feel is kind of intimidating is to check their credit score and check their credit report. You know, it's, again, one of those things that you hear, oh, I got to read my credit score today or look at my credit report, and you just kind of turn off. But you know, the thing is, being aware of what your credit score is in the first place can give you, you know, not the most perfect, but a generally okay view of how your financial life is doing. And then digging a little deeper and looking at your credit report, you know, there are certain things in there that you can pull out, like if there are erroneous data or suspicious activity or things like that. And, you know, that's another one of those things that, especially considering all the, you know, hacking and privacy issues today, that really should be part of everybody's general financial health upkeep. And it doesn't take all day. You know, it's relatively easy to do. You can knock it out in under an hour, if even. But it's something that we just kind of have to do, but that we always have an excuse not to do. So that's always kind of a crucial thing that we always push readers to do and just kind of take care of it, get out of the way, and then you don't have to worry about it for a while.
One of the things on your list that was, to me, very practical and something that I need a reminder about is backing up your photos. Why tackle this on your day off? But it sounds like something that, you know, we always just put off.
So I have a very personal connection to this one in particular. My computer busted about 2 years ago, and of course, I never backed up my photos, never made copies anywhere, never did anything about that because I always had an excuse not to do it. And so here we are 2 years later, and all those photos are still trapped on this computer. And, you know, to pay to get the data back is going to cost a fortune, and it'll be this whole other hassle that I could have completely avoided had I just taken, you know, taken the hour on a day off or on a weekend and actually just backed those photos up. And this kind of applies to everything in our digital lives. You know, we live so much of our lives online that we really need to protect those and make sure that if tragedy happens and our computer, you know, dies or whatever happens, that we aren't, you know, totally stuck without it. So, you know, this is one that I really, really like to push people toward, because, you know, the positives are so huge and it can be such a relief and really save a lot of cherished memories for really what is not that much of an effort.
There's another thing that you may encounter on your day off, and that's the refrigerator. And, you know, whether you're going in to find something to eat, but you're saying, you know, it's a great day to clean it out, and you have a method for fridge cleaning.
Yeah, so we actually got pretty deep into fridge cleaning. And, you know, again, it feels like a very intimidating task. Like, we use the fridge, what, every day of our lives. But the idea of cleaning it can seem really daunting because it really kind of accumulates things and gets kind of sticky, and you've got all kinds of weird different products in there that it really just adds up to the point where it just feels so intimidating that you just want to keep avoiding it. But kind of regularly checking in and making sure that it's not getting too messy pretty often can help you avoid getting to the point where it needs one of those huge deep cleans. But that's sometimes unrealistic, and we don't live in a perfect world. So every so often, it can be really helpful, you know, just for your own personal happiness and your own personal happiness in the kitchen to give your fridge one of those deep cleans. And, you know, one of the ways that we advise people just to get started is to take out literally everything in your fridge, set it on the counter, and just kind of take a look at what's even in your fridge. You know, you probably have sauces in there that expired 8 months ago, and leftovers from, you know, dinner 4 months ago, and just these things that are just literally trash, but we never think to just give our fridge this huge deep clean.
And then after the fridge is clean and everything is good to go there, you say make the best pizza.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if you're a personal fan, but New York Times has an incredible cooking section with recipes on everything imaginable, and all really good. And, you know, making pizza is like a fun kind of family activity, and it doesn't have to be this huge, you know, days-long, drawn-out process. And there are ways that it can be a relatively low-lift meal that you can make today. And it's kind of just, you know, one of those fun things, like, who doesn't love pizza? And we have a handful of recipes for it that are really, really good. And, you know, not a lot of people know that the New York Times has such a huge, comprehensive cooking section.
And so you might end up,
push people to it.
Yeah, you might end up using that partial jar of olives on that pizza that you're trying to get rid of when you're cleaning out your fridge.
There's extra toppings for you. It's win-win.
So you also tell people they should get introspective about their careers on this day off. What do you mean by that?
So especially if you have a day off during the week where you're not, you know, you have a day where you should be at work, but for whatever reason you're not, that's kind of a nice, again, one of those easy, convenient excuses just to kind of slow down and take a step back and just kind of think about what your career goals are and if you're really doing what you want to be doing and what your next step is and how you can advance. You know, and the New York Times has really comprehensive coverage about how we can really manage our careers. And, you know, it's not something that, you know, anyone should be expected to do, you know, every week. And it's really not something you need to do every week. But, you know, every so often, you know, again, when you just happen to have one of these days off, it's another one of those things that we just kind of keep putting off, but that really, if we take a, you know, a realistic and broad view about our career goals, our career paths, it can really kind of open up a lot of ideas and just kind of get you thinking about, well, like, what is the next step? Like, am I where I want to be right now?
That day off can also be an opportunity to perhaps freshen up your LinkedIn or freshen up your resume.
Exactly. And there's, again, so many, like, little things you can do that are pretty easy, that won't take all day, but that can, you know, provide these, you know, pretty big outside benefits.
Well, Jess in Milwaukee emailed and said, I have two kinds of days off. The first is a day to just binge watch TV and relax. And the second is more of what Tim is talking about, a productive day. I can't believe everything I can get done in a day. It's amazing. Why can't we be as productive with a free hour after work?
Great question. If I had the answer, I would love to tell you. No, that's actually something that I write about a lot of the time on Smarter Living, which is, you know, productivity and how we can really kind of be more productive when we necessarily aren't. So Personally, I am really bad with procrastination. I'm one of those people who always puts off everything until the very last minute, until deadline's here. And, you know, one of the ways that I'm able to find around that is kind of breaking up the things we have to do into tiny, tiny little minuscule portions of that goal. So, you know, rather than looking at something as like, you know, I have to, you know, write a presentation for next week, you know, really the starting point is open up a doc so I can start a presentation, put a title on the doc, put my name on the doc, write that first sentence. But that's one of the ways that we've, you know, explored a lot in Smarter Living is this idea of really kind of breaking goals down into tiny incremental pieces of it and then just building on that and building on your success when you're able to knock those things out.
We're getting advice from Tim Herrera on The Morning Show. Tim is editor of the New York Times Smarter Living section. What is your tip for smarter living? How have you figured out a way to make life more manageable and meaningful? Do you have advice you lean on when your days feel out of balance? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Coming up, we'll look at how and why to say no to opportunities. We'll be back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're gathering some tangible, practical advice that we can put to use right now here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have the New York Times Smarter Living section editor, Tim Herrera, with us to share these nuggets of valuable advice, and there are more on the way. We also have the launch of our spring membership drive, and by all practical purposes, some clear advice flowing from Pledge Central. And so this is WPR Spring Membership Drive. Chris Molina here with me. Listeners, that's you. Provide the single largest source of funding here at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for 9 pledges in the next 35 minutes or so. And I was kind of struck by something that Tim said in that last segment. He said, if you want to achieve a goal, break it up into tiny incremental pieces. And that's kind of what we're doing with each one of these goals. Each hour of the pledge drive, we're asking every person to do their part to meet the overall goal. We're not going to ask one single listener to cover every expense that we need here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We're asking every listener to do their part, and it only happens when you participate. And thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs that you enjoy.
When you listen to the Ideas Network, you make your community a better place because you're an engaged, informed citizen. When you give to Wisconsin Public Radio, you're doubling the good you do.
That's because WPR is listener-supported. That means that your financial support is what makes this incredible service available to you and to the entire state, by the way. Do something amazing right now. Help make the Ideas Network possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our monthly giving program is becoming more and more popular. In fact, we have more than 2,300 sustaining members who make ongoing monthly gifts, and that number is growing by the day.
Give it a try. We think you'll like it. Set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or your credit card. That donation will automatically renew every year. It's easy to get started with a gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Chris Molina. We're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs that you enjoy on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we absolutely count on your gift.
We do, and we are still looking for about 9 more pledges in the next half hour or so. You know, maybe you have never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before. Maybe you've been on the fence, or maybe you just found us recently and you thought, I'm kind of intrigued by what I'm hearing here. Well, you're still listening days, weeks, months later. If that's the case, that's how you know it is time to make your pledge of support. So make that first ever gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your pledge is such an important part of making the programs that you enjoy possible.
Support the programs you care about and enjoy your favorite hot beverage in the 2018 WPR Artist Mug when you give $15 a month or more. This year's artwork is an image of a caribou made with traditional Native American beadwork. Ask for your lovely new mug, so creative, so going back to our roots, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Alan in Clintonville who says, we enjoy listening to the shows on WPR. Alan, thank you so much for that. If your day isn't complete without the morning show in the morning, without Central Time in the afternoon, without great classical music all day long, that's how you know it's time to make your pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio. Do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
We're learning to live smarter here on the morning show. Tim Herrera stays with us. We're going to learn why it doesn't always benefit us to say yes to every opportunity. Tim Herrera edits the Smarter Living section for the New York Times. You can join in with your questions, your sage advice at 800-642-1234. Do you feel yourself taking on too much? When have you said no to a new project or task? And how did you muster up the courage? Did you feel better or worse after setting a limit? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Let's go to Barb joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Barb.
Hello. How are you today?
Doing well. What is your advice?
Well, my advice, I don't know if I'm qualified to give it, but I'm retired and basically I have every day off. But I had about 8 years ago written a personal mission statement that I feel makes use of my talents and what my, it kind of everything filters through that I do during the day. And anyway, I find that it really helps me decide even does this go with my mission statement or do I want to say no when you talked about, you know, deciding what to do. So I would suggest that people do that. I think it's very helpful to write a mission statement.
And Barb, is your mission statement something you go back to again and again each day, or do you just check in once in a while?
Well, basically, it's kind of so ingrained in me now that I follow through each day. And I know it sounds rather pretentious, but my mission statement, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but it's to bring beauty to the world through thought, word, and deed. Mm. And so I try to do something kind every day, make something more beautiful in the world just by wearing a bright color on a bad day. And I try to learn new things so that I can improve myself and hopefully some things in the world.
Barb,
so
thank you.
Pretentious.
Oh, no, not at all. Barb, thank you so much for sharing your mission statement. Tim Herrera, what do you make of that?
That is a beautiful idea, and I love that, and I think it's something that everybody should do. You know, we're talking about this very broad idea of kind of overwhelming ourselves and taking on too much and just saying yes to every opportunity that comes across us. And there are a lot of, you know, very specific tactics and strategies that we can employ to make sure that we don't fall into those traps and that we're able to say a confident and definitive no. But, you know, in a lot of ways, it really starts long before that process
when we are kind of figuring out what's core to our identity and what are the things that matter to us and what are the things that we're passionate about. And, you know, Barb's idea of writing out a mission statement and just explicitly saying what you're all about and what is actually core to your identity, you know, really, like she was saying, ingrains in you what you value and what you want to spend your time on, so that when the day comes that a new opportunity comes across you that you're kind of so-so on, that you think, well, maybe, nah, that could be fun, I guess, but you're just not completely there, you have something to fall back on and say, no, this is not something that's core to who I am. This is not something I truly believe in. This is not something I'm passionate about. So I'm going to pass on this opportunity. And it just makes it so much easier to decline things that you know aren't going to kind of further your personal mission statement.
But saying no, first of all, that's difficult, but it really runs counter to what we've learned in business practices where you have an opportunity in front of you, you say yes to it. That's just what we've been taught.
It really does. And it's not even just only in business practices in the workplace. You know, we are, social creatures as humans. And when you say no to something, whether in the workplace or socially, it almost feels like you're sort of breaking that social contract, that you're saying no to that person and you're saying no to that specific relationship rather than just saying no to the idea. And in the workplace, it really can kind of be almost detrimental because we really are taught that the more you do, the more you take on, that equals being more productive and appearing like you know what you're doing. But in a lot of ways, when we stop saying no to things, we just overload ourselves and we become less effective at everything because we're so overwhelmed. So there are just so many layers to being able to say no and knowing what you care about and knowing what you're passionate about that it impacts you in every aspect of your life.
So how can we say no in the right way without being offensive and without shutting off future opportunities?
Well, one of the big ways is to make clear when you're declining a new opportunity is to make clear that you're saying no to that idea or that specific task rather than saying no to the person. So you want to make sure that it's not delivered in kind of a, you know, no, this is not something I care about, this is not something I want to do. It'd be more of just a, this sounds like a really interesting opportunity, but doesn't quite align with what my goals are or what my personal beliefs are or what I'm passionate about. So it kind of starts there. And then working into more of the specific tactics of the conversation, one of the ways that you can just kind of use your words to make things a little clearer and leave no room for ambiguity is just to say, rather than you can't do something, say you don't do something. So, you know, an example of this is, let's say you're at work and someone is presenting a new opportunity that's a little bit too far out of your responsibilities, that it's too much of a stretch and it would interfere with your actual core responsibilities at work. You know, rather than saying you can't take on this project right now, you can say, oh, I appreciate you bringing this opportunity to me, but I don't work on X. And that, you know, clears away any wiggle room they might have to try to convince you. Because when we say can't, we leave that tiny little opening that says, well, what is in the way that you can't do it right now? But if we say we don't do that, it completely takes away that wiggle room.
But that also requires a whole lot of boundary setting, but also a lot of self-awareness as to what we do and we don't do and what our true passions are. So how do you figure out where those boundaries are?
It comes back to, you know, knowing what we're about and having clear and specific goals, right? So, you know, particularly in the workplace, maybe on your day off, you took our advice and got really introspective about your career path and your goals. You know, that's one of the ways that long before these conversations about having to say no, you can really establish who you are, what your goals are, what your core identity is, and then be able to build your life around these ideas. And so it just makes it so much easier when the time comes to know whether something really is something you want to get involved in and something that you're passionate about.
We're talking about how to live smarter, live more fully. It's practical advice flowing from the Smarter Living section of the New York Times. The editor of Smarter Living, Tim Herrera, stays with us. A little later, we'll learn about how to stop putting off what we've been putting off. How could procrastination not creep into this conversation? But before procrastination, there is the immediacy of our spring membership drive. And it is your support that is the foundation for what WPR puts on the air every single day. It's, in fact, the single largest piece of what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great conversations. And so I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Chris Molina, encouraging you to make your gift in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are off to a great start so far this hour, Kate. We've gotten 5 pledges in the door, and we are looking for 5 more in the next 20 minutes. We are halfway to hitting our goal, and it's your gift right now that helps us do just that. Your gift is so important because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every single day.
And thank you so much if you've already given, and if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think we all had a moment here in the studio when Barb called in and said she has a personal mission statement of trying to bring some beauty into the world every day. I was really touched by that, and that really kind of struck me. And I think at Wisconsin Public Radio, We try to do that. That's kind of built into our mission statement. We might not have the word beauty in there, but we try to bring something of value to you every day. We try to bring you civil discourse. We try to bring you thoughtful conversations. We try to bring you entertaining content. And I think there's beauty in that. But we could only do it with your support. We could only achieve this mission with you. And our mission also says that we are listener supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and then make your pledge.
And we have, speaking of beautiful, a beautiful new artist mug this year. It's an image of a caribou created in beadwork made by Karen Ann Hoffman of the Oneida Nation. We think you'll love drinking your coffee and tea from this mug. Ask for yours when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio wakes me up every morning. Mostly I just enjoy the morning programming and the afternoon programming. I became a sustaining member because I felt so guilty with all the pledge drives, because they're so logical and they're so persistent. It's crucial that we have people support it so we don't lose it. I'm Sarah from Wausau. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I love that persistence in her voice. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge this very moment. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Chris Molina. It's listener support that is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. That's a fact. And that's why your support during the spring membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
It is the right amount, and we are asking that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 a month or more.
Whatever that amount, we'll use it to support the programs that you enjoy, keeping your source for information, for entertainment, on WPR going strong. So give right now whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 5 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. But the pledge that we would really like right now is your pledge right now. Make that first ever gift of support. Join 2 other brand new members this hour who made their very first pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's you that make Wisconsin Public Radio possible when you give. So make that pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
We heard from Diane and Tim in Elkhorn who say, thank you, WPR. You all do a wonderful job show after show. Thank you for keeping us informed and entertained. Diane and Tim, thank you so much. We pledge to you that we will bring you entertaining, informative, and inspiring program every day. And we're hoping that you'll pledge to us, well, your support, because this is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. It's your support that makes the biggest difference. Make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A great piece of advice someone gave to me once was their motto, which was inch it, meaning you do just a little bit at a time. Carve up a difficult task into smaller steps. Love that. It works. We're talking about that with the New York Times Smarter Living Section editor, Tim Herrera, who inches it in his life as well. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's the one thing you put off doing? Is it a big thing that seems insurmountable, or could it just be a tiny thing that you delay again and again? And why do you avoid it? What is stopping you? Call in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Tim, you wrote an article last month encouraging people to do that one thing they've been putting off. What is that one thing?
It can be so many different things. And this is one of my favorite things that I've written this year because the responses that I got to the story were incredible. So the premise of the story was, you know, today just take care of that one thing that's been lingering over your head forever. You know, just that one task that you know you have to do, but you keep avoiding. And, you know, when we avoid these things, we just keep avoiding them. It's this kind of weird cycle because every time we put it off, we get a tiny little boost to ourselves that kind of feels good. It's like, oh, I don't have to do that today, so I can just take care of it later. And it's a phenomenon called self-sabotage, and just kind of is very self-reinforcing. But in order to break that cycle, you know, what it really does take is just sitting down and taking care of that task. And I got kind of inspired to write about this topic because I, you know, had a couple of emails that I was very late on, very delinquent on, but that I needed to send. And it was just kind of lingering over my head. But once I was able to take care of it, you know, it took all of, 7 minutes to take care of these tasks. And once I did, just this huge relief rushes over you. And you feel so great having taken care of it. You feel productive. You feel like you can just keep rolling, being productive. You know, you just feel amazing about it. And so, you know, a lot of the responses I got into this were sort of on the lower level and where people were saying they also have a specific email to write or like a thank you note to send. But, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, sometimes these tasks really can snowball into things that become sort of all-consuming. You know, one of the most inspiring stories that I heard in response to this was a woman wrote in saying that she, so her parent had died in the last year, and she had been putting off sending along her gratitude to a friend who kind of saw her through that process. And, you know, she saw this idea of today, just do that one thing. Mm. And she felt inspired to finally reach out to this friend and express how much it meant to her that she was able to help her through that grieving process. And, you know, it was just such an incredible story and something that, you know, we all kind of have in some part of our lives. You know, it may not be that, you know, emotionally weighing, but we all have these tasks that we just don't want to do, we just keep putting off, but the idea is that today, just do that thing, and you're going to feel so much better for it.
I wonder if we actually realize that we're hurting ourselves in a way by avoiding tackling something we just don't want to do for some reason.
Right, and a lot of the times, it kind of manifests itself into this kind of, you know, low-level kind of background stress or anxiety that generally is at a kind of tolerable level, right? Like, you know, you have to write that email, but it's not the biggest stressor of your day, and that's not the thing that's giving you the most anxiety. So, you know, basically there are bigger fish to fry, so you can keep putting it off. But, you know, these things snowball and they accumulate, and that background level of stress just kind of keeps inching up until the point where, you know, sometimes it can become the biggest stressor of your day, and it is your biggest source of anxiety. But,
you know, for a lot of these things, they're relatively small tasks that would take, you know, not 10 minutes to knock off your to-do list. So you really just need to kind of force yourself and say, like, all right, today I'm going to take care of it. I'm not going to have to worry about it ever again. And you just feel so much relief once you finally knock those things off your to-do list.
I am still in shock that Tim Herrera could be a procrastinator. I don't even see how that is possible. Are you just saying that to make us feel good?
No, I'm so bad at it. And that's why I have all these like weird tricks and tips to kind of get around it, because I know that about myself, and I try to head that off every place I can. And yet, I still fall victim to it as much as anybody else.
Well, let's bring in Daniel joining us from Kewaskum. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Kate. I just wanted to share a quote from one of my favorite philosophers, Alan Watts. He said that dispelling dread isn't a matter of trying to forget about washing dishes. It's realizing, in matter of fact, you only have one dish to wash ever, this one. Only one step to take ever, this one, and that is Zen.
That is brilliant, Daniel. I think that should be our motto. Put that on the wall or something, especially above the kitchen sink.
Yeah. Well, it's something I try to keep in mind. But yeah, I just wanted to share that with you and your guests.
That was brilliant. Thank you so much. Tim Herrera, what do you think of that?
That is great. And, you know, it's totally true. You know, we kind of build these tasks up in our mind, and this is how they become these huge insurmountable, you know, monsters that we avoid at all costs. Because, you know, when you look at these tasks and the things that we have to do that we keep putting off, realistically, they're not these huge, hulking monster tasks. They're just things that we have built them up to be that way. So it really is, you know, once you kind of sit down and take a realistic view at, you know, even just like your to-do list today, you know, the things that are giving you the most stress, like, are they really supposed to be giving you that much stress, or do you just think they're going to be that huge and monumental?
One thing that hangs over our heads sometimes is, you know, and pity, a lot of people probably do, you know, have this feeling that sending thank yous or showing gratitude and taking a long, long time to do that, is it always better to show your gratitude regardless when it comes, when considerable time has passed? How do you recommend people should handle that situation?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it varies by what the situation is and what you're showing gratitude for. But this is something that we just wrote on Smarter Living, that, you know, sharing gratitude is kind of a two-way street. You know, on the one hand, when you finally get around to expressing gratitude to somebody for, you know, a certain thing, whether it was a task or just kind of ongoing support, you know, they feel good having received that. You know, it's validation of the effort they put in, and it strengthens their bond to you. But, you know, on the other hand, research has shown that simply the act of expressing gratitude can make yourself happy. So it kind of benefits everybody involved. Everybody feels better. Everybody feels good about it. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those nice, again, those tiny little things you can kind of drop into your everyday life that really do give you a genuine, measurable boost in happiness.
What's the best way to show that gratitude? Is it too impersonal to send the email? Do you make the phone call? Do you say it in person? Do you send something?
You know, it really depends on what you're showing gratitude for. But honestly, as long as you're showing gratitude, I think a lot of it is one of those things where it's the thought that counts. You know, I think there's, you know, aside from, you know, particular instances, you know, there's really kind of no way to no wrong way to express gratitude. You know, again, just the act of doing it has a measurable impact on the happiness and satisfaction of everybody involved. So, you know, just getting around to do it is really the important key, the important factor of it.
Let's bring in Marcus now in Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Kate. So I used to just be a procrastinator until I decided to go pro. No, seriously, my grandpa used to tell me that if there's something you think you can do, you'll find a way. And if you think you can't, you'll find an excuse. And back to your comment about inching it forward, he used to say to me that a yard is hard, but an inch is a cinch, and just keep inching it forward and you'll eventually get that yard.
Love it. Love it, Marcus. You know, Tim Herrera, have you gone pro? I think you have.
Yeah. But I love hearing all these ideas about, you know, inching it forward and, you know, a yard is hard and inches a cinch, because that really is the core to beating a procrastination. You know, for a lot of the times it's just kind of ingrained. It's kind of who you are. You know, you just need to kind of accept that and then figure out ways to beat it. And, you know, in my personal experience and my, you know, work history, it really has been a matter of stopping looking at tasks as these huge monumental things that become insurmountable and just breaking them down into the tiniest units possible, knocking out those units, and then kind of celebrating when I'm able to accomplish something, no matter how small it is. You know, that kind of success and that feeling of accomplishment builds on itself. So, you know, if you do the first 5 of 100 tiny, tiny tasks, you're going to feel pretty good about that, and you're wanting to do the 6th, and then the 7th, and then the 8th. And then before you realize it, you know, you're 3/4 of the way done, and you barely even meant to get started.
Well, Tim, this has been such a blast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, and you can read all about this at nytimes.com/smarterliving, and thank you again so much for bringing me on this morning.
Tim Herrera is editor of the New York Times Smarter Living section that's dedicated to offering tips and advice for living a more fulfilling life. And this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Membership Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Chris Molina. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in. And that's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the single largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
We are looking for 4 more pledges in the next, 10 minutes or so, and we can get there by doing it inch by inch. You know, if I've learned anything from this hour, it's you take things and you break them up into steps. These hourly goals are set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make that donation right now of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we don't want anyone who has turned pro in their procrastinator life around here to be a listener member. No, I'm just kidding. But procrastinators, it's okay. You know, we're out there. It happens. Just make that pledge right now because WPR is listener supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take that few minutes and make your pledge.
And who knows what's going to happen after that? You know, maybe making this pledge is going to be that burst of inspiration that you need to tackle all that stuff that is stacking up on your to-do list. Think about what today could hold. A great way to start it is by making your pledge of support right now. And the beauty of making a voluntary contribution to support WPR programs is that you get to decide how much to give. So consider a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
That might be what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. So listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending, I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Chris Molina. We're asking for your support during the spring membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. And your gift right now of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Kate, we've built some great momentum this hour. We have heard from 6 listeners. We are looking to hear from 4 more before the end of the hour. So call in right now. Go to the website. Help us continue this momentum as we get this spring membership drive off to a fantastic start. It starts with your pledge, and it starts right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
Support the programs you care about and enjoy your favorite hot beverage in the 2018 WPR Artist Mug when you give $15 a month or more. And by the way, this year's artwork is an image of a caribou made with traditional Native American beadwork. Ask for your lovely creative new mug at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your radio home. And because of that, we are asking for your support here during this spring membership drive. We can't do it without you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.